And peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We'll end our reading there. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the teaching of the Word of God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Tonight, as we have gathered ourselves together here, you've seen us here safely. You've watched over us. You've met our needs today. You've protected us. And you've placed a desire in our heart and a way for us to be here, that we could have prayer with the brethren, and that we could bring ourselves under the authority of your word tonight. And I pray that as the word of God goes forth, that it may go forth in power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you would teach us from your word some things that would help furnish our faith, that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do a work in our hearts, and we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Last week we talked about three things. We talked about a person, if you'll remember, and that person is mentioned several times in these few verses here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of salvation. And then there was the power in verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us. And then the promises in verse number 4, exceeding great and precious promises. Tonight I want to talk to you something about how that we are to supplement our faith. You know, a lot of people take supplements, nutritional supplements, vitamins and minerals to supplement maybe their daily intake of food. And here, the Apostle Peter begins to talk about Christian or spiritual supplements, what we are to do to supplement our faith. I want you to notice in verse number 5, he said, and beside this, beside what? Well, beside the things that he's spoken of. God's given us some things. But you know, what God has given us, he also expects for us to add. In other words, God's not going to do all the work. I'm very thankful for the balance of the Scripture. The Bible teaches us that God he'll give honor, but there must be humility. The Bible teaches that there's faith, but then there's works. The Bible teaches the divine sovereignty of God, where God is in control. God is at work, but it also teaches human responsibility. And so when you look at these verses, and you look at verses 1 through 4, what the Apostle Peter is saying is God has done a work. It's almost as if he's saying God has given you a field. God's given you a field, and he wants you to work it. And so how are we to work this field that God's given us? I read the story of a man who furnished the way of a young man in his community to go to college. He paid his way. He said, I'm going to pay for you to go, and I want you to learn. And so the young man went to college, 4 years, paid for. But while he was there, he'd done nothing. He didn't apply himself to the teaching of the classroom. As a matter of fact, he frequently was absent from the classroom. He played around and partied around, and at the close of the 4 years, nothing. You know, that would be a sad thing. And yet there are Christians that God has paid the way for, made the way. What are we doing with what God has paid for in our lives? What are you doing? What am I doing? That's what Peter's speaking of. It's not enough just to be saved. You know, some people think that's the end. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's just the beginning, brethren. Listen to me now. That's just the beginning. Notice what the Apostle Peter said here. He mentions that we've obtained, in verse number 1, like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's mentioned that God, through His grace and peace, that which is multiplied unto us, that we have a richer knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, that through His divine power, in verse number 3, He's given. It's not something you work for or earn or you can buy. God has imparted that to us in the person of His Holy Spirit and through His written word. God has even gone further than that, and He has embedded in every Christian at least one spiritual gift. At least. You know, I read something a couple of weeks ago that really struck me about spiritual gifts. When you look at these verses of Scripture, you see where God has given us things to succeed and to excel in the Christian life. There is no excuse for a born-again Christian not to live a godly, consecrated, dedicated life that has purpose. Oh, I realize we have all kinds of excuses. We're full of excuses. But I want to use tonight to try to help you, and God help me, that we would not go through our lives making excuses for being anything less than what God saved us to be. God has locked in every one of us a potential to be a Christian that could make an impact and a difference on the lives of others. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. Now, the church at Corinth was known for many things. One of the things that the church of Corinth was known for was their carnality. And they certainly were a carnal church. But not only that, the scripture teaches that they were a church that had several spiritual gifts. And I was reading, and I think it's here in chapter number 1. I don't see it at this time in 1 Corinthians, but I was reading a couple of weeks ago how that God had given, look at verse number 7 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, so that, and he's speaking to the church at Corinth. Now, if you'll go back and you'll see where Paul addresses, he identifies himself, and he addresses in verse number 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians unto the church of God which is at Corinth. And he said, I know some things about you. And he said, here's what I know about you. He said, I know in verse number 7 that ye come behind in no gift. You're a gifted people. And when you study through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that there is a majoring on the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are a wonderful thing, and God has given them to us that we might use them to profit the brethren, to advance the kingdom. But I want you to notice when he said that, and you need to mark that well, okay, verse number 7, so that you come behind in no gift. All right, you're not lacking in spiritual gifts. God has abundantly blessed you with gifts to use in the ministry. I think about how much is given here. God has blessed us with good, strong leadership. God has blessed Fellowship Baptist Church with an abundance of people that have gifts to use for His honor and for His glory. One of the things that we must beware of is that gifts, spiritual gifts, will never take the place of spirituality. Did you get that? Because somebody possesses a spiritual gift, that doesn't make them spiritual. Notice what Paul said to the same church. Now, he said, you come behind in no spiritual gift, but when you get over in chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians, notice what he says here, brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. But wait a minute, Paul. You said that we come behind in no spiritual gift. That's right. Spiritual gift doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't. There is a difference between spiritual gifts and being spiritual. Spiritual gifts is what God gives unto us. Spirituality is what we give in return. It's our response to what God has done in our lives. And so don't get the two mixed up and think, well, you know what, I'm a good singer, or I'm a good musician, or I'm a good teacher, or I'm a good deacon, or and the list could go on. I have these gifts, the gifts of governments, or the gifts of helps, or the gifts that God gives. That's not what makes someone spiritual. We have to understand that. You could hear a man get up and sing, and it be, I mean, tremendous, but that doesn't mean he's spiritual. You understand that, right? Everyone understands what I'm saying. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying God gives us gifts, but that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. We must, as God gives us spiritual gifts, develop spirituality so we can use those gifts in a spiritual way to impact the lives of others. And so he said here in chapter 3, I couldn't write unto you as unto spiritual, in verse 1, but as unto carnal, even as of babes in Christ. I fed you with milk. You know what was happening in this church? You know. They actually were taking these spiritual gifts, and instead of using them to help and to minister to others, they were fussing and arguing over who was the greatest among them. Well, you know, I like Paul. I like Apollos. Well, I'm of, you know, Cephas. So we go back to Peter, and Peter's along the same line. He's saying, listen, you're saved. God has saved you. And in saving you, God has invested some things in you. And you have got to use those things that God has invested and put them to work in your lives. So let's look at it, okay? 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 5. And beside this, you're saved now. Go forward. Oh, but I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. You know, you talk to folks and they just act like that's, boy, that's it. You know, I'm saved. Now you have a great responsibility. God has invested in sending you to college. What are you going to do with your time there? What are we going to do with the investment that God has made in our lives? It's like God has given you a plot of property. I mean, good property. Good land, fertile, rich. What are you going to do to cultivate that to bring forth fruit that will benefit and feed and nourish other people? He said this. You see that word in verse number, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith. That word add means furnish. Furnish. Furnish your faith. See, God gave you the faith. God gave you the field, all right? God's given you something to start with. That's divine sovereignty. It's a gift. Faith is a gift of God. Right, brethren? We understand that. You say, well, I want to gain faith, or I want to get faith. Faith is the gift of God. Now, God gives it in measure. You can read that in Romans chapter 1. We go from faith to faith. Faith can be strengthened. Faith is an activity. It's like a muscle that the more you use it, the stronger it gets. How strong is your faith? So I want strong faith. Well, then you're going to have to exercise it. You don't get strong faith by not exercising it. And so we must exercise faith in order for our faith to increase. Here he said, and beside this, now God's given you all this, these things here. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness in verse number 3. He has given exceeding great and precious promises in verse number 4. But beside this, what are you doing? He said, beside this, given all diligence. Peter is saying this is very important. And so tonight, when I'm just going to take some time and go through some of these terms here, these virtues, these characteristics. There's 7 of them. 7 spiritual supplements that will help strengthen our Christian walk, our spirituality. What's the difference between a carnal, Paul mentioned, and a spiritual Christian? Listen, he wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, I could not speak unto you, brethren, as spiritual, but carnal. See, he referred to them as all being brethren, but while some of them were could have been spiritual, they were carnal. What's the difference? It's these supplements. They all have the faith. They've all been saved. They've been born again. They have the divine nature. When you get saved, you have the divine nature. We become partakers of the divine nature. God's Holy Spirit takes up a permanent residence in us. It's permanent, brethren. It's permanent. You'll never be without the Holy Spirit in this lifetime. Never. Never. The question is not, will we ever be without Him? The question is, will he ever be without us? Will we vacate? Will we not allow Him to fill us and to control our lives as He desires to do? Let's look at some of these things. He said in verse number 5, and beside this, now that you're saved, you've had the divine nature imparted in you, now what are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to click my heels and say, glory to God, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved. Well, you know a lot of people, well, I'm letting go and letting God, preacher. Hey, that'll get you, that's not going to make you spiritual. That's not going to make you spiritual. I hear people say that. I just let go and let God. I've never read that in the Bible. I've read in the Bible where every Christian has a responsibility to cultivate the faith that God has given us. Where we have a responsibility to govern our lives according to the principles and the precepts and commandments of God's Word. So that philosophy sounds spiritual, but it's not. He doesn't say let go and let God. He says take some responsibility and add some things to your faith. That doesn't sound like letting go. That sounds like digging in. Amen? And getting with the program. Look what he said here. And beside this, given all diligence. I mean, I can't stress enough. I can't overemphasize what Peter is saying here. He's saying, give diligence. Give attention. Give some time. Give some energy. This is important, is what he's saying. It's important that you give all diligence, that you add to your faith. Now that you're saved, what do you add to your faith? See that word? Virtue. What is it? Well, you read after Sunday, say, well, it means moral excellency. It's possible. Could mean that. There are those who say that it means that. When you begin to look at the word, you begin to trace it down and its derivatives, they say it means moral excellency. Others say that it means inner strength. Some say, well, it means a commitment to excellence. The more I trace the word out, the more I see that I believe with all of my heart this word means strength and courage, virtue. Add to your faith some works, some strength, and some courage. What good is it to have faith if you don't have boldness? Right? We just heard in our prayer room where one of our men was in there saying, I want to praise God for my son who is passing out tracts. Little lad. Passing out tracts. Boldness. Boldness. You say, I've got faith, preacher. Strong faith. Are you sharing it? Is it a courageous faith? Is it a faith that has a boldness to it? Right? Boldness. Courage. Virtue, a strength, an energy. Right? Faith has to have some works about it, some wherewithal. The old timers used to talk about putting legs on your prayers. Right? Yeah. It takes more than just talking about it. You gotta put it into action. And that's what he's saying. It's not enough, Peter said, just to go around and say, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Well, what are you doing as a saved person? What are you confronting? Who are you sharing that with? How is you being saved changing others? Okay, it's changing you, but God didn't save you just for you to be changed. God saved us to help change others. That's why He left us here. Right? Sure. And so He said, add to your faith virtue. And when we add to our faith virtue, notice what he said, virtue brings knowledge. So add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Now, how does virtue bring knowledge? Well, when you go out knocking on doors, you begin to find out there's not nearly as many people saved as you thought they were. You'll begin to find out that this old world is in a vice that people know very little about. There are people struggling with things that we know very little about until you see behind their door, until you go to where they live, until you begin to interact and you begin to communicate with people your faith, and you begin to ask them. They're standing before God, and it gives you a knowledge not only of people, but it gives you a knowledge of God and what God can do and what happens when people leave God out of their lives. It's sad at the condition of people who choose to leave God out of their lives. It's sad. And so what's he saying here? He said, add to your faith virtue. Some courage, some strength, some works, some vigor. And then he said, and to that add knowledge. In other words, you don't want to just go out with a bunch of strength and courage and zeal and say, I'm going to charge hell with a water pistol. Okay, I don't recommend that. Better have a little knowledge about what you're getting yourself into. There is an enemy out there. But then we're to take also a knowledge of who our ally is. Right? Knowledge, rather. Knowledge. As a matter of fact, Peter just keeps using that word. Knowledge. Knowledge. Read God's word. You're in the right place. Church is a great place. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, well, you know, preacher, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I disagree with that. I think you do. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. But if you're going to be a Christian, I believe you need to be in God's house, learning from God's man, because I believe it's God's will that every person have a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? Right? A preacher. See, these folks say, hey, you know, we don't do the church thing. We just kind of gather in our room and have Bible study. I can't find that in the Bible. It's the church, brethren. It's the church. Well, we are a member of the universal church. Well, I believe God's in the local church. The church which was at Corinth, and the church which was at Thessalonica, the church which was at Ephesus. Amen. Amen. The local assembly, that called out body of believers that meet in a local assembly. This is the church that meets at Fellowship Baptist. I see people and they say, well, look at this beautiful church. And it's a big building. And I'm thinking, there's nothing churchy about that. That's a church building. We get our terms mixed up, don't we? Knowledge. He said, and beside this, you're saved now. Give all diligence. Make it a priority in your life to add to your faith virtue. Have some vigor. Have some zeal, some strength, some courage. Can I tell you that as long as the devil grips your heart with fear, you're not going to do much for the kingdom of God. You're just not. Well, I would witness, but I'm afraid. I'm fearful. I don't like rejection, and on the list goes. You're going to have to conquer those if you're going to be able to do something for the kingdom of God. Every one of us, you're going to have to conquer those things, brethren. Every one of us are. The devil's going to put fear in all of our hearts in one way or another not to serve Jesus. What's it going to be? Well, I can't talk to people about Jesus. Well, you're going to have to overcome that now. Because God wants you to be a soul winner. You want to be wise? He that winneth souls is wise. Is that what the Bible says? It is. Wise. So he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. knowledge. Find out about this newfound faith that you've been born into, that you've received as a gift. Find out about this Savior who gave His life for you, and not just for you only, but for the sins of the whole world. Find out about His priesthood, how He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He ever liveth to make intercession for you. Find out some things about this Savior. Get some knowledge so that when you go out and you begin to present Him with vigor and with energy and with courage, you can do so in an informed way. Then he said, not only are we to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, in verse number 6, he said, and to knowledge temperance. That's self-control. You say, well, I think it's spirit control. No, that's a fruit of the Spirit. But this word comes from psyche, from self, self-control. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Hold your place here and turn, if you would, to Proverbs. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, Proverbs 16. This proverb, we'll look at a couple of these proverbs. Temperance. What is it to be temperate? It's to be in control. In Proverbs 16, look, if you would, in verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Are you in control? Turn over just for a moment into another proverb, and then we'll get back into 2 Peter. But turn, if you would, to the 25th proverb, Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, look in verse number 28. Proverbs 25, verse number 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You've got to have a measure of control in your life. And so he said, now that you're saved, now that you have this gift of faith, you've got to add some things. You're going to have to add some energy, some virtue. And then to that you add some knowledge. But you've got to have some control in your life, some self-control, temperance. I believe as I search this word out that it's talking about temperance on what not to do. Self-control when it comes to the pleasures of this world. If you'll go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse number 4, I believe that Peter has this thought in mind when he uses this word. In verse number 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a lot of things out there that'll get you sidetracked in your faith, that'll get me sidetracked in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things out there that will pull us, and we'll lose that focus, that sense of control to stay focused on what God has called us to do, why God saved us. And they're pulling. And here Peter said, listen, you got to get focused. You've got to have that temperance. You've got to have some self-control. You just can't say yes to everything that comes along. You've got to say no. You've got to turn from some things, or you'll end up doing your will and not God's will. I'll end up doing my will and not God's will. And so he said, when it comes to this matter of self-control, there has to be some guidelines, some parameters, some barriers that you say, I'm not going to cross by the grace of God. As God is my helper, I'm not going to involve myself in those things. And so he said in verse number 5, he said, give all diligence. You add to your faith virtue, and to that virtue knowledge, and to that knowledge temperance, some self-control. Stay away from some places. Stay away from some people. Stay away from some things. They'll drag you in and get you involved in things that will be detrimental to your Christian growth. in your Christian life. Now it's happened. It's happened. And so we must be cautious. He said not only that in verse number 6, as you add to your knowledge temperance, add to that temperance patience. Now this word means endurance. All right? It means endurance. I like what one man said. He said that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talked about self-control of pleasures, but he talked about endurance to problems. And that's what this word patience means. Don't let problems cause you to want to quit. In other words, don't let the pleasures of the world cause you to give in, but don't let the problems of the world cause you to give up. And they're both present. And that's why we have to add these things. We have to form these things in our lives through God's Word and God's Holy Spirit, that we might be able to restrain and we might be able to persevere through some things. Brethren, sometimes life gets hard. Amen. Sometimes the sledding gets hard. And we have to just move on forward. Have you ever noticed that the people that are always falling off track, giving in to every vice, are those who give up easy? Doesn't take much to cause them just to throw up their hands. Well, I quit! You know why? No discipline. They haven't learned how to say no to some things. They haven't toughened up and allowed God to build some character in their lives and allowed God to show them what it is to say no to some things. And because of that, the least little thing that comes along, they're ready to throw in the towel, say, I quit. Peter said, if you're going to be anything for God now, you're going to have to learn what it is to have some patient endurance in your life. Right? Yeah. Some patient endurance. Everything's not going to go the way that we want it to go. Right? Beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Got to have a little vigor now, a little passion. Don't be a dead Christian. Have some energy. Put a little pizzazz. Hey, man, a little work to your faith. Then he said, not only that, he said, add to your virtue knowledge. Don't be just a whirling dervish, right? Have some knowledge. Have something to say. Listen, nothing wrong with being loud as long as you've got more than just volume. Some people think, boy, that's preaching. What? He was loud. He screamed a lot. Listen, that doesn't make preaching. Right? I'd rather hear a quiet man say a lot than a loud man say a little. How about you? Amen. But since I'm saying what I'd rather have a loud man say a lot. And so he says here, add to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. Now, don't be giving in to every little vice and everything that comes along. Learn what it is to have some control, some self-control. And then to that temperance, he said, add patience. You've got to have some patient endurance. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some times it's not favorable. And you're going to be tested, tried in your walk of faith. It's going to happen. And you have to learn what it is to move on through that now. Move on to the next step. These trials that God allows in our lives, they strengthen us. They help us. They fit us for the journey ahead. Next thing he says in verse number 6 is add to your patience godliness. That word simply means godlikeness. See, God is conforming every one of us that are saved to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is. And we have to understand that. Be godlike. Let me look around here and see if I can see something. Ah, I already see it. Amen. Amen. Oh, I look down there and see my wife and mother-in-law. And there is no doubt whose girl she is. Right? They look so much alike. You know, when people look at us, they ought to know who we belong to. You know? There ought to be some things about us where people, you know, you ever heard somebody say, well, that's old Jed's son. Man, he's just like old Jed. That's old so-and-so's daughter. That's old, you know, just like him. Looks like him, talks like him, walks like him, acts like him. That's got to be old Bob's son, right? I've said it myself. I mean, just a spitting image, right? You know, when people look at us, they all say, that's God's son. That's God's boy. They're a lot like God. That's what that word godliness means. A God-likeness to where people will identify us with God. And so he said, add to these things a God-likeness. Don't make it about you now. Well, I'm tough. I persevere. I press. Don't make it about you. You see, when we add these qualities to the faith that God has given us, it's making us more like God. And so people should see God, not us. See, my virtue should not be about me. Right? My knowledge should not be about me. I don't want people, yeah, he's smart. I want people to know my God is good. Not that I'm smart. Right? So the knowledge that I have of God, I want to share, not so people think that I'm smart, but so they'll know he's good. The temperance, the patience, these things I want people to know, not so they'll say, well, oh Dale Freeman this, or Corey that, or Brother David this. Or no, that's not what this is about. We want people to see God. And so he said, add to that godliness. Then he said this in verse 7, add to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. Now I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these last two because I want to bring this to a close. Brotherly kindness, brethren. I could go through over and over and over. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. You know, we ought to love one another. Now some people can love in a different way than others, but regardless of the way God chooses to love through you, I know this. Because we are partakers of the divine nature. Now listen to me. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God will love people through you. And it's easy to love the brethren. Now, I must admit that some of them's not so easy, but it's easy to love the brethren. It is. Christian people are lovable people. I love being around Christians. Now, I'm not saying Christian people are perfect. But I just love being around Christian people. Now, we have our quirks and ways too, right? Sure we do. Sure we do. Let brotherly love. That word comes from the word we get, Philadelphia. Let brotherly love continue. He said, so add to this brotherly kindness. Be kind to the brethren. Show kindness to the brethren. The Bible says that we ought to do good unto all men. Galatians chapter number 6. But especially unto them of the household of faith. You look at that now. That's Galatians chapter 6. I think it's verse 10 or 11. As we have opportunity, we ought to do good to all men. We ought to do good to Christians. Then he said, charity. Add to brotherly kindness, charity. This is a love that goes beyond. This is that love that is agape love. Okay? See, that brotherly kindness is a philia love. It comes from the word Philadelphia. It's more of a social love. But this agape love is a spiritual love. Now there is an eros love, which is a sensual love. This word here is charity. It's a spiritual. It's an agape. It's a God-like love. You love them as God would love them. And it encompasses more than just the brethren. It encompasses those outside the faith. Love sinners, in other words. Don't just love at church. Love outside the church. Love sinners. Love them. Say, preacher, it's hard to love sinners. Yeah, I know. But when we've added some things to our lives, it disciplines us to look beyond their sin and look to their soul and realize that except they receive Christ as their Savior, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. And so God will help us to love them. I want to read something to you that I thought was very, very interesting. These are things that we're to add. We're to equip. We're to furnish our faith. I was reading after an individual And I ran across this and I thought, that's good, I like that. First of all, the first thing that I read was this, T.E. McCullough. T.E. McCullough was the father of Ed McCullough, one of the five young missionaries slain by Alca Indians in Ecuador. One night, as we were on our knees together, he prayed, "Lord, let me live long enough to see those fellas saved who killed our boys, that I may throw my arms around them and tell them I love them because they love Christ." That's agape love. That's agape love. When you read that passage of Scripture, think about this, and you can go ahead and stand to your feet. This author said, "I had a good friend who was the father of little boys. And when he would read this passage that I just shared with you tonight to his sons, he would read it this way: add to your faith the virtue and courage of David. And to the courage of David, the knowledge of Solomon. And to the knowledge of Solomon, the patience of Job. And to the patience of Job, the godliness of Daniel. And to the godliness of Daniel, the brotherly kindness of Jonathan. And to the brotherly kindness of Jonathan, the charity of John." I thought that was really good. You know, when I begin to think about those characteristics, those people do come to my mind. And it's because they excelled in those areas of their life. What area are you excelling in? What about me? Brethren, we've been saved. And God's given us a field, and He wants us to cultivate it. He wants us to sow it and reap it, and He wants to use it that it might bring forth fruit that others may feed on it and grow by it. So add some things to your faith. Invest in your Christian life that Jesus has invested in when He graced you with it. One day when we stand before the Lord, we can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Our works will not be burnt as wood, hay, and stubble, but they will be purified as gold and silver and precious stones. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. I pray that You would help us to furnish, to add to our faith these supplements, these virtues, these spiritual characteristics that we've looked at in Your Word tonight. God, help us to take this serious, and as Peter has admonished us, help us to give all diligence to this matter. It's important, as all of Your Word is. Somehow I believe that Peter was really trying, under the leading of Your Holy Spirit, he was emphasizing the importance of these characteristics in our lives. And if it's important to You, God, I pray You'd help me, help us, that it would be important to us. Help us not just to dismiss what we've heard tonight or to take it and think on it for a moment, but help us to meditate on these things. Help us to follow up on these truths. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this evening, is there someone here that would say, "Preacher, as a Christian, God used His Word to do something in my heart tonight, and I just want You to pray for me. There's something that God spoke to me about out of that passage of Scripture that I'm going to need some help with. And I want to ask you to remember me in the closing prayer." Yes, God bless you. I see the hands that are raised. God bless you. I pray that you would study this through and continue to look into this and get some help. Is there someone here tonight that's not saved? "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. Please pray for me." Anyone like that tonight? "I'm not a Christian. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior." Anyone? Father, You've seen the hands that's been lifted. And I believe in my heart that all of us, some who did lift their hands and others who did not, we need to take a strong, long look at these scripture, that we would strengthen our resolve to walk with Thee, to live for You, to allow that conforming process in our lives, that we will be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen these that have asked for help, God. Plant in their heart what You've spoken to them about, and I pray it would lodge and it would just develop and they would follow up on it and we could see fruit in their lives from a direct result of what has happened here tonight. Help us to be all that we could be and should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope you have a good rest of the night. Please pray for our church family. I've mentioned some. There's others that I didn't mention tonight. But our church family has got some sickness and just some things that are going on. Some are fighting spiritual battles. Let's pray one for another. I think a good church prays one for another. I think this Saturday will also give you an opportunity, men, to have a good prayer opportunity. Brother Dave, is it 5? What time is it? 7 o'clock. You can come at 5, but the rest of the people will be here at 7. 7 o'clock. Let's get as many men as would here Saturday. Let's pray. All right? So, well, I'm busy. I know I am too. But let's not get too busy to join together as a church group of men and pray. All right? Saturday, 7 o'clock, right here at the church, we're going to be praying about our upcoming missions revival. I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation. God bless you. Have a great night. Yes, sir?
I done read this Bible one time. I'm going over it the second time.
That's good.
And this
I like that one.
I see the word.
I like that. Where'd you get that one?
In Walmart.
I like that.
It's 25% off.
You see that? Oh, man. That's a nice one there, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. No. Got the word.
You know, when I
like it, Steve.
You know what I do?
What's that?
I have the sound on the TV. I take a